What are we here for? What are we hoping to find? What did we find? For those of us who have come out of the world and are here gathered together. Well, we know there are certain instructions that we're not to keep from, you know, gathering ourselves together. Even those that aren't able to come here on a weekly Sabbath are many times able to come for a feast. And so we make the arrangements, we save our second tithe, we do these things to make sure that we're in obedience to Yahweh. But that's not all there is. And there is something that we're supposed to be doing, something that we're supposed to be helping with. And there's something here at this particular assembly that I really appreciated, and it's one reason I'm here, not only because of this, but because it is sound, sound teaching. And that is all the literature, all the DVDs, all the CDs, all the literature that's going out, and the preaching of Yahweh's word. And we are given instruction to proclaim Yahweh's word. Now, one thing I was surprised when I came here, both my wife and I, is that there's hardly anyone here. How can this be? All this stuff, all this work going forth, and yet, where is everyone? Sometimes we see on television these preachers and they have an auditorium full or their building is full of people. And I'm talking, you know, thousands. One building in particular, I know there's at least 9,000 that attend there on a regular basis. How is it we only have like 8 or 10 here? We've been asked, well, why don't you scan the audience? Well, we don't have all the cameras just yet. We're looking to add some more cameras. But also, there's just not a lot of people here, not a lot of brethren. And that is surprising. But we don't need to be discouraged, because Yahweh's working out something and doing something that people, are going to be amazed once it comes about in fulfillment and all is accomplished that's going to be accomplished. And maybe that statement is not accurate, that there's going to be an accomplishment of all things. Well, there's going to be a continuing of the kingdom. It's going to be without end. We're told about this kingdom. And so that's something we need to keep in mind as well. But one thing I do know is we should pray. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 9. But what are we to pray for? What are we here to accomplish? What needs to be done? Well, we know that we're to have faith in the Messiah. We know that we're to be obedient to Yahweh. In Matthew 9, in verse 36, Yahshua here says in verse 36 of Matthew 9, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh of the harvest, to send out workers into his harvest. So we have something to do here. We are to pray for more workers. We are few in number, and yet the harvest is great. It's all in Yahweh's timetable of how he's going to work things out, but we have something that we can do. And Yahshua certainly did things. What did he do in verse 35? Notice it says, Yahshua is going through all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the evangel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom, and healing every kind of sickness and every kind of every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. But he was proclaiming the kingdom, proclaiming this coming kingdom that, you know, we don't hear about so much today. We hear about the next president and all of this going on, the politics. They're wanting to run this government, but there's another government coming. There's another government that we are to be in line with in word and in deed. Now, there's a number of things that we can accomplish, but one of the main things that we're to accomplish is the Great Commission. The Great Commission of proclaiming Yahweh's word, proclaiming the coming kingdom. letting people know that they need to repent from their former ways and to learn of Yahweh's ways and His righteousness. In fact, the Word says, seek Yahweh's kingdom and His righteousness, and these other things you may desire will be added unto you. We are to pray, we are to give of tithes and offerings. We're even to save, as was already mentioned, the second tithe so we can keep the feast. We're to give offerings. We're producing many studies here. We're producing in-depth booklets, magazines, newsletters, CDs, DVDs, internet websites. And best of all, we're sharing the Word by mouth and by action or by example. One of the strongest witnesses, and we can witness, but one of the strongest ways of doing that is setting a good example for others. And that's not always easy to do because we struggle. We struggle with the flesh. We struggle with desires and wants and needs. And certainly Yahweh knows what we need, and He does provide. And there's been a number of miracles just here at this assembly in that Yahweh has provided in miraculous ways, showing us he is near, and we do not have to be concerned or worried. But yet, the nature, our human nature, is that way, to tend to worry, to tend to be concerned at times. But Yahweh knows our needs. He knows what we need, and also what we should be doing. Let's go over to John 17, John chapter 17. John 17, verse 18. Joshua, talking to his disciples, said, says to Yahweh, actually, as you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. Speaking of the disciples. Let's go over back to Matthew 10 and verse 16. Matthew 10 and verse 16. I'm sorry. Yeah, 10:16. Beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts. Oh, that's not the one. It's 18. Verse 16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But the point is, He's sending them out. He's sending the disciples out. And I do believe He sends us out as well. He sends us out to proclaim the Word. And we do it in different ways, by praying, by helping with the work in various ways. We all have a part to play. 1 John. In sharing the Word with others, many times we're shut down. That is, by others. They don't want to hear it. They'll put their hands up. They'll walk away. They'll turn away. Should we be offended? They're not turning away from us. They're turning away from Yahweh by not doing what Yahweh says. They're rejecting Him. And there is a spirit out there that is a different spirit than Yahweh's spirit. 1 John 4 and verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from Elohim, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you will know the spirit of Yahweh. Every spirit that confesses that Yahshua the Messiah has come in the flesh is from Yahweh. And every spirit that does not confess Yahshua is not from Yahweh. This is the spirit of the anti-Messiah, of which you have heard that is coming and now is already in the world. You are from Elohim, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from Yahweh. He who knows Yahweh listens to us. He who is not from Yahweh does not listen to us. By this we know that the spirit of truth and also the spirit of error. So there's two different spirits. But what does it mean to when it says, he who is not from Yahweh does not listen to us? Well, Yahweh calls, and He calls by opening up our minds to understand. So we're given insight, we're given understanding. And so in a sense, when a person understands, they really are coming from Yahweh, because Yahweh has sent them. And so we have to be circumspect of that. But we also need to know that Satan has his ways, and he can send a person as well. He can send people to cause problems. And there are tares among the fields, we hear, well, we read in Yahweh's word. But we know that there are two different spirits, and we want to be on the in the spirit, not of error, but the spirit that is right. And the spirit that is in error, I mean, one of the things that's said here is that the spirit will not confess that Yahshua the Messiah is the Son, basically. It won't say that. And there are teachings out there that basically say that Yahshua isn't the Son. He may be a good man, but he isn't the Son of the Father. That teaching is out there. There's also another teaching that basically states that the Son is the Father. Well, isn't that like saying that the Son, or that the Son isn't actually the Son? There's some different ways of looking at this, but in context, it looks like they were teaching against the Gnostic teachings. Those teachings that were there at the time. There was also the teaching that of the Pharisaical Jews. They were there, and many of them would not accept Yahshua. So they rejected him. They were under a different spirit. They couldn't see because Yahweh wouldn't open up their minds, evidently. But when he does open up the mind of an individual, then we can discern, we can accept them, we can love them. And they can join in the Great Commission, in the work. And so if someone is in the spirit of error and they're just now coming out, whether it's from a different faith that's in error or some other way, Yahweh's spirit can change their spirit to understand and to be with him. And so it's a process, and it's something that I think Paul said it best. You know, we look through a glass darkly. We don't quite understand how all these things can be, but we do understand that there are things that are there, even though we may not be able to see them. But I think we see the actions, we see the attitude, and we see the fruit of Yahweh's Spirit working, and we see the miracles that occur. In 1 Timothy 4, there's a healing that's occurring with these individuals that are coming out, and their hearts being changed. It's a healing process. But notice here in 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons." Again, there are different teachings out there, teachings that we certainly don't agree with, teachings we wonder, well, where did that come from? And I think it's wise to consider these things and make sure that we're in the truth, recognizing what we're sending out, that it's in Yahweh's spirit, that's done in His way, that His word is being proclaimed, and not this other spirit or these deceitful spirits and these other deceitful doctrines, these doctrines of demons. Now, you know, this particular section here, someone may be hearing this for the first time, and they may go, well, this section's talking about sanctifying all foods. Well, in verse 4 here, it says, "For everything created by Yahweh is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude." But what does Yahweh help us to understand? Let's go over to Mark. Hold your place here, but go to Mark. Chapter 11. And verse 24. Mark 11:24. Notice what it says here. It says, "All things for which you pray and ask, believe that you may receive them, and they will be granted to you." Does this mean that we can ask for anything? That we can have anything we want? Well, if it lines up with Yahweh's word, I would suspect that it would be okay. If it's something that we need and Yahweh knows we need it, we can pray for it and it will be granted. But I can't pray because somebody over here, my neighbor or someone further away even, makes me mad. And I pray that, or if I were to pray that they be dead, well, that would be against the commandments. That would be wrong. So if we were to, it'd be like trying to proof text this. Everything that I pray for, I can ask for and I'll be receiving it. No. Not unless it's in accordance with Yahweh's word, with His will. Now, if you considering that, turn back to 1 Timothy 4. And let's look down, let's read 4 again. 4:4. It says, "For everything created by Yahweh is good, nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude." But notice verse 5. "For it is sanctified by means of the word of Yahweh and prayer." So where in the word of Yahweh does it say everything is clean? It says there are certain things that are clean. Deuteronomy 14, it says there are certain things that are clean in Leviticus chapter 11. Certain things are clean, but certain things are unclean. And they're not meant to be as food for us. So it's a matter of discerning. It's a matter of being in the Spirit, having Yahweh open up our minds to the truth, but being able to see in Scripture where, yes, what Yahweh is showing me is true. And so the literature here that we put out, it's discerned by the Spirit, but it's also discerned by the Word. So if it's in line with the Word, we continue to send it out. If somebody brings to our attention that's not in line with Yahweh's Word, and therefore not in line with the Spirit, then we have to change. I think we're here because we find true teachings. We find Yahweh's Spirit at work here. We find, even though there's few, that much is being done. And it's to His glory. It's to Yahweh's glory and Yahshua's glory. Actually, Yahweh has given all glory and power to Yahshua. So at this time, He is our King. If we stay in the Spirit and in truth. Well, is the world knocking down our doors to find out what they should be doing? No. Regrettably, no. Let's go over to Amos chapter 8. I guess we could ask the question, is Yahweh calling everybody? Again, the answer is no. Amos 8, in verse 11. It says, "Behold, days are coming, declares Yahweh Elohim, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for bread or for thirst of water, but rather for the hearing of the words of Yahweh." The hearing. The famine is the hearing of the words. We're here. People can come. We're doing outreach. People can read. People can see. But yet, there's not a lot of people being accepting of what we're doing. But there is coming a time. Let's go over to Isaiah 30 and verse 20. Isaiah chapter 30. And verse 20. Isaiah 30 and verse 20 says, at the end time, the end of the age, although Yahweh, in fact, this is going into the kingdom, says, although the Master has given you bread of privation and water of oppression. That's interesting because over here in Amos 8:11, it says, a famine for bread and a thirst for water. Here it says, although the Master has given you bread of privation, or the Sovereign has given you bread of privation and water of oppression, He, your teacher, will no longer hide Himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher. So what does this tell us? The blindness is going to be no more. There's coming a time when the blindness will be gone, that Yahweh's Spirit will be poured out onto mankind. That time isn't here yet. So we're kind of in between that time and, of course, the time that has been from the beginning and from Yahshua's time. And we're waiting for His return. We're waiting for some of these things to take place. But we're to tell people We're to share the word with people and help those that are coming out of the world. So I guess the question is, well, and what is the, you know, I guess maybe I ought to back up here. What is the bread of privation, water of oppression? What is bread? What is water? Spiritually speaking, I mean, we find that Yahshua is the bread of life. But it's the word. I mean, he tells us, live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. That is bread. That is living bread. Bread that nourishes us, helps us. And that's why we study. We read Yahweh's word. We're nourished by it. What about the water? Yahshua said, come to me and I'll give you living waters. The problem today is there's not a lot of people coming to him. People are rejecting him. It's like there is a famine of the hearing because people just don't want to hear. And it's somewhat discouraging, but Yahweh is going to work things out. And he tells us the end from the beginning. And so we know what's coming. But is hearing important? Well, do you want to be able to cross the road? Do you want to hear a car honking if you're in the way? I think so. How about understanding a spouse? I think it's important that we listen. You may have heard happy wife, happy life. Certainly there is some truth to that. And we have two ears and one mouth, so we're to listen more. And I think speak less at many times. Well, with hearing actually comes faith. Romans chapter 10. And even the eunuch on the road where Philip was able to talk to him, I mean, he was reading Isaiah and, you know, he basically said, you know, how can I understand unless someone helps me to understand? Romans 10 and verse 17. Says, faith comes by hearing, and the hearing by the word of Messiah. It's interesting here. If you back up, it says, Yahweh, who has believed our report? Who's listening? Verse 18, by say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed, they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? First Moses says, I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding will I anger you. And Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. As for Israel, he says, all the day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. I think this is still going on today. Yahweh's hand is reaching out through his people. And Israel is obstinate and disobedient. And while we speak here, there are probably hundreds, if not thousands, of cars passing, going to and fro, back and forth on the highway just outside of this building. They're busy. They're busy doing their own thing. They're not busy about Yahweh's work. They're not busy trying to see what he wants in their lives. They're busy bodies, and they're doing their own thing. Well, there are causes and effects. What are cause and effect principles? What is the effect of working all the time, focusing on a career? What is the lasting effect? You know, as I get older, I know I'm able to, I think, comprehend a little bit more with people, living out their lives. The older you get, the more people you see passing away, and you hear biographies, autobiographies, you see what they've done in their life, and is it of really lasting consequence? We have to ask ourselves, is what we're doing having lasting consequences? And if it is having lasting consequences, what will be that? What is the end result? What is the consequence? What happens at the end? Is there a reward? Is there punishment? I mean, what is at the end? We're told in Yahweh's word, if we do these things, that we'll be blessed, that we'll be given a crown of life at the end. I mean, these things are here, and we're told. So we're really without excuse. What is the effect of addictions like alcoholism, gambling, etc.? What is the world in general doing with its free time? Cable and satellite, TV, 200 plus stations. 200 plus stations and nothing's on. Well, there's a few educational things on, and certainly we should be discerning with our time and what we watch, what we hear, what we read. Now, there's a World Wide Web. Some have surfing addictions. Others have pornography addictions because of that being so readily available. There's virtual reality games where you can lose yourself within these games. You become like another person, and you just live in a fantasy life. There are people spending thousands of dollars. They're not only playing the games, they're spending their money to play these games. And what use is that in the end? Their money is gone. Their time has gone. And they've lived a fantasy life within these things. I was watching... something came on recently that I happened to catch, and it was Christian-oriented. And it was some kids playing a game, rock and roll, on Christian rock songs on a guitar. And I was thinking to myself, it would be better for them to actually be taking lessons, learning the instrument, rather than just playing make-believe. But people are out there in these virtual reality game rooms, and it's all make-believe. There's nothing real about it, and they're wasting their time. I do believe they're wasting their time when they spend so much time doing that. There's AM/FM radio, but now there's satellite radio. And again, I think there might be 200-plus stations. So much. So much. You know, what about the friends that we keep company with? What kind of friends are they? Are they good friends? Do they have the same beliefs that we have? Is it bad company? You know, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad company corrupts good morals or good character. So we can start out good, but if we start rubbing elbows with those that are bad, we can end up losing our way. And many times we're tempted because we go astray, and then someone, you know, helps us along their path, and we don't want to be necessarily on a different path. In fact, I know we don't want to be on a different path. We want to be on the path that Yahweh has put us on. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 6, speaking of cause and effect principles. Galatians tells us, and it gives us kind of a right side and a wrong side, at least in this Bible. That's how it's listed. The good is on the right, the bad is on the left. But basically in Galatians 5 and verse 19, now it says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry. Is putting a career above Yahweh, or a job above Yahweh, or a car above Yahweh, is that idolatry? I think it can certainly be related as such. It's whatever is between you and Yahweh. If you're not serving Yahweh as you should be, you're not necessarily coming to the feast when you have the ability to. You're not sharing the word with others as you have the ability to. You're not really praying all the time, in which we're supposed to be doing. We're to be constantly in prayer. Yeah, anything that puts you between or is in between you and Yahweh can be a form of idolatry, an idol. But there's sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. And this is what we're looking forward to. And I think by doing so, we we're able to help discern where we put our time. But certainly Yahweh's Spirit, as it's called us out and it's been implanted in us, a token amount when we were baptized, when we had the hands laid upon us, actually when it happens, we're able to discern and be able to make the right decisions. The right decision is to have the fruits of that Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. These things, be studying the Word, making sure that we're in line with what true teachings are in the Scriptures. And if you go over to Matthew 7, you'll find in verse 13 instruction. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. You know, it's amazing. There's a church over about 20 miles west of here in Columbia that's called the Broadway Church. Couldn't believe it when I saw it, but yet they happen to be on Broadway Boulevard, I think, so I think that's why they did it, but I don't think we would have ever named you know, this the Broadway Assembly, for example. Wouldn't have happened. I think because we know too much. And that's why we're here. That's why we're as dedicated as we are. That's why I think so much work is being able to be accomplished, because we're not quenching the Spirit. We're allowing the Spirit to work within us, and the work is being accomplished. The Great Commission, the commission of teaching of the coming kingdom, of letting people know that they need to repent and change their ways and start doing what Yahweh has and wants for them. I mean, He has good in mind. He has our well-being in mind. He wants us to have an abundant life. He doesn't want to hurt us. He doesn't want to hinder us. He wants to help us and help us to grow. Well, a famine of the hearing of the words of Yahweh actually helps to work out Yahweh's plan. Let's go over to Jeremiah 3 and verse 14. I'll share why I say that. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 14. Some of you may already know this at heart. Jeremiah 3 and verse 14. Basically, skipping down towards the middle there, it says, I am a master to you, and I will take you, one from a city, two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. We're on the road to Zion. We're looking for spiritual New Jerusalem. We're looking for the coming kingdom. And Yahweh has taken us, one from a city, one from a family. There's not many of us. In fact, if you go over to Matthew 22 and verse 14, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14, it says, many are called, but few are chosen. Well, you know, Yahweh's word doesn't contradict itself. That there's a reason why, you know, there's a dovetailing of Yahweh's words, because it's inspired. It's basically one book, yet we find, you know, we have a first covenant that was done, a second covenant. But Yahweh's working out certain things. And many, I should point out here, many doesn't mean everybody. It doesn't mean everyone. Many can mean like 400,000, 500,000. There's like 6 billion in this world. Many doesn't mean 6 billion. And when it says few chosen, I think we see few. Few are chosen. So it's just the way Yahweh is working things out. And in keeping people in the dark, which is exactly what Yahweh is doing. I mean, this isn't this isn't David's teaching. This is Yahweh's teaching. Matthew 13. Back up there to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10. What does it say? Matthew 13 and verse 10, starting there. And the disciples came to him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Well, why don't you just tell them plainly? Well, I think Yahshua actually did tell many people plainly. Repent. Start obeying Yahweh. You know, come to me and I'll give you living waters. But you have to repent. You have to overcome. You have to start changing your life in line with Yahweh's way of living, the way Yahshua lived his life. That's why it says, I do believe, it says, we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of Yahshua the Messiah. Matthew 13, verse 10, and the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Yahshua answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." It has not been granted. Not yet. It has not been granted. Not yet. Because I do believe that we do see Yahweh's overall plan, that there is going to be mercy, loving kindness bestowed on others, but not, it's going to be in His timing. It's not going to be the way we want it. It's not going to be anything but the way Yahweh wants it, really. Yahweh's working it out. But even with the few that we find that are coming in, and so many are just oblivious, it seems like, we're still to share what we can with them. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 7. Ezekiel 2 and verse 7. Somehow I skipped over to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is a good book too. At the end it says the whole purpose of man is to be obedient to Yahweh. But in Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 7 it says, Ezekiel. Ezekiel 2 and verse 7 says, "You shall speak my words to them, whether they are listening or not, for they are rebellious." And the people out there are rebellious. Many of them are just rebellious. Matthew 24 and verse 24. We know what's coming before it even gets here. Matthew 24 and verse 14. "This evangel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." Well, that word testimony in this translation, I did look it up today, and it does could be translated as witness. So this message, this about this coming kingdom, it will be to the world as a witness. It says, and after that, the end will come. So there's going to be some things happening. There's going to be a precious few that are sharing the word and helping others to understand and allowing others to hear it. And regrettably, many will reject it out of hand, but it's a witness. And our actions are a witness. Our example is a witness. How we live, again, a witness. It's a teaching in itself. But from the start, repentance and the kingdom was actually preached. If we go back to Matthew chapter 3, you see this pattern again and again, where John the Baptist came out, was paving the way for Yahshua. But it says, Matthew 3 and verse 2, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent. The kingdom of Yahweh is coming. Basically what he's saying. Matthew 4 and verse 17. What did Yahshua start doing? Yahshua's first message to everyone when he proceeded after he was baptized. You know, if you go back to Matthew 3 and verse 16, it says Yahshua came up after out of the water after being baptized. After he's baptized, he started immediately to tell in verse 17, "From that time Yahshua began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" What does he tell us? Matthew 10 and verse 7. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7. Now he's telling this to the disciples, but if we're taught by the Word, then basically we're taught by Yahshua, we're taught by Yahweh. Having the Spirit, we're taught. Our minds are being opened up. And it says, "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Let's go over to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and we'll close with this. We're not left alone. We're not left to our own devices. If we were, we would be destroyed. We would be without a shepherd. We would be without a path to follow. But here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth." Just like Matthew chapter 24, the message will be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. This is a process that has started. It's a process that will continue until it is accomplished. So don't be discouraged by the few brethren that are around us, in that not many are accepting the call to come out of the world to do Yahweh's will at this time. How many were in Noah's Ark? How many disciples were there? Yahweh provides what is needed and His will to be worked out, whether by few or by many. And I say this as much to you as I do, or as much to myself as I do to you. I need to review. I need to understand. I need to, again, remember and review to know these things so that I don't get discouraged. And at times, being human, I do. And I know you do too, at times. But we don't wallow in it. We come out of it and we remember what's coming. We remember the coming kingdom. We remember the promises, and the promises are sure because they're promises given to us by Yahweh, and He can't lie. So we need to keep these things in mind. There is a great responsibility in performing the Great Commission. Thankfully, Yahweh's Spirit of Truth is here to help us overcome to the end, preaching by various means, repentance, and the coming kingdom, of whom Yahshua the Messiah will be king, and is, in fact, now our king and high priest. We can thank Yahweh for all of this and more. Hallelujah.